The next case to be heard this morning is number 2009-2217, Ceccarelli versus Tax Commissioner. Mr. Friedberg, you may present your argument.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Leon Friedberg. I represent Jack Ceccarelli, the appellant in this matter. I wonder if I could reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. Simply, this case is a case of first impression on a very simple matter of law. There are no facts in dispute. There are no issues to be determined except for the application of the appropriate statute, which is that for personal liability of motor fuel tax payment liability in this case. This is not a failure to file case, although there were late filings. There were filings. There were assessments made against the actual taxpayer, Mr. Ceccarelli's company, and subsequently and uncontestedly, well after the four-year period that's at issue, there was an assessment made for his responsible person liability. And the sole issue is whether or not the assessment for personal responsibility must be made within the four-year statute that is contained within the essentially the enabling statute for assessment for personal liability. I think the matters have been very fully briefed and are relatively straightforward. I don't feel the need to go through the entire arguments again. They've been restated and fairly straightforward. I'm fairly happy, very happy, in fact, to answer any questions the court may have.
Well, you're, as I understand it, you focus on the fact that the responsible party provision at 5735.35 references 5735.12, which is the provision that allows the commissioner
exactly
to issue the assessments.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And so basically you're saying it incorporates everything that's in 12, including the time limitation.
Exactly. And in this respect, it's a little bit different from the other schemes that were utilized by the tax commissioner in coming up with the notion that the case law that suggests that the statute of limitations doesn't apply to personal responsibility assessments should be applied to the motor fuel tax scheme. And we've gone to great lengths to point out that there are very significant and, I think, essentially determinative differences between the scheme. But, yes, that's exactly the point, Your Honor. The ability to impose the personal liability, which exists by virtue of 5735.35, is implemented in the manner, that's exactly the language used, in the manner of 5735.12. And that manner incorporation reference, as the court indicated, referencing it, in my view, it's an incorporation. It has no exception, has no exclusions, has no but-fors, or except in the case
of. Well, what about the use of the term manner itself? Now, wouldn't that tend to indicate that it's incorporating things like, you know, a piece of paper has to be issued, it has to be mailed in a certain way, but not necessarily a time limitation?
Well, that would be the argument. But there is no language that suggests you can make that assumption. And I think that's the point that is being missed by the board's initial decision. We've gone to great lengths to point out that in applying a statute, if it's not ambiguous, there's nothing to interpret. In our view, the statute is in no way ambiguous. There's no need to interpret or to go through the normal roundabout, well, in this sentence, first clause, it has this word, but in the third clause, it doesn't have that word. None of those exercises need to be undertaken. As the court has very simply stated, there's liability for responsible persons under 35. That liability exists by virtue of 35. It is enforced by virtue of 12. And 12 has a four-year statute of limitations.
There's another argument that the commissioner made, and I wanted to see what your thoughts were on that. It points to the language in 5735.12 and 12A, and you've got like three paragraphs in a row. And the first paragraph refers to an additional charge on a motor fuel dealer. And the second paragraph is the paragraph that authorizes the issuance of assessments. And then the third paragraph imposes the four-year limitation that's at issue in this case, and it talks about assessments against motor fuel dealers. Now, that second paragraph doesn't talk about issuing assessments against motor fuel dealers. It talks about any person with a responsibility to file and make payments and so forth. And so there appears to be an argument here that that contrast between the broad language of assessment and the focus on motor fuel dealer with the time limitation would be a reason to say that the time limitation applies only to the motor fuel dealer. What's your response?
Well, I think we've addressed those in our brief, and I won't go into all of them. But simply put, it's trying to prove too much. And that's the problem with the argument here, is that the notion is somehow that there needs to be a parsing of the language in 12 in order to enforce 35. And there's absolutely no basis for that argument. Of course, the language in 12 deals with the subject matter of 12. And so it deals with different kinds of capacities, different characteristics. There are employees, there are dealers, there are officers, there are and persons, which is itself a defined term. But the point is not what it says in 13. The point is what does it say in 35. And in 35 it says you will use 12 to enforce the liability. 12 has a four-year statute of limitation for an assessment under that provision. The better question is, why would there be a need to make that kind of parsing out? And that's where the appellee's brief, I think, is especially telling. They've acknowledged in their brief that they don't do this procedure unintentionally or by accident or because they're overworked. They acknowledge that they do it intentionally, that this is a program that they've established by choice as to how they're going to interpret the statute. That's fine. They have the right to do that. But if they're wrong, they're wrong. And the fact that this is the first time this case has come up before the court doesn't make it right. The other arguments they raise, none of them really rely on the implementation of the statutory language. They appear to rely on, well, this is how we do it. This is how we do it in income tax, so we should be able to do it here in motor fuel tax.
Well, one of the points that points to is the notion that if there is this time limitation imposed, then that wouldn't that force the commissioner to issue assessments against persons very quickly in order to reserve the state's right to collect against them, whereas the way he does it is to wait until it looks as though there's some need to actually go after somebody. So, well, I mean, there's the other side of it is, isn't it perhaps better for people in your client's position to have the commissioner wait rather than issue assessments right away?
In all candor, Your Honor, I struggle to come up with a legitimate business argument that would support that position. And only and I say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but only a government enforcement agent who has been caught doing something improper would use that kind of argument. Gee, we're only trying to help the taxpayer. And the argument really says this. We have a four-year time within which to assess. It's not a limitation on collection. There's no time limit on collection except for keeping judgments alive once they're reduced to judgment. The court is well familiar with the collection process. This is an assessment that we're talking about, not a collection. There's absolutely no reason, there's no rational argument that if you are the owner of a company or the financial officer of a company or literally someone who writes the checks, which is arguably also a responsible person, that if you work for a company, you have an unlimited, no time frame liability for if that company never pays its taxes. And it doesn't mean that, I will know at some point in my lifetime whether or not I'm on the hook for perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars, just because I happen to be the one that signed the checks. And in this case, the assessment now is up to something like $1 million for a defunct company. All they had to do was issue the assessment within 4 years. It wasn't inadvertent. It wasn't overburdened. It wasn't that we didn't have enough people. We choose to do it this way because we can. And with all due respect, that's just not an excuse. And that argument, Your Honor, actually caused me the biggest smile as I was reading through the appellee's brief because, gee, Minnelli, what reality are they dealing with? And again, I'm saying this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but what reality do they deal with where an employee or an owner of a company is better off having an indeterminate, unknown liability? How would you go to the bank and say, well, yes, I spent 6 years working as a financial officer for some big company that went under 18 years ago, and yes, that company still owes, $18 million in fuel tax, and yes, I could be responsible, but I'll never know until they drop the hammer. Well, with all due respect, that argument just doesn't carry very much weight in terms of supporting the notion that this is the way a statute that is plain on its face should be applied. I hope the court will understand my use of the cooking analogy was an effort to make it as simple as I really believe it is. 35 says there's personal liability. That liability is enforced in the manner of 12. 12 has a four-year statute. It's just that simple. The fact that 12 doesn't talk about personal liability persons doesn't mean it doesn't apply to personal liability persons.
Let me go back to the question I asked you a few minutes ago about that language in 5735.12, that second paragraph of A where it talks about the commissioner's power to assess. And the language is, if any person required by this chapter to file reports and pay the taxes, interest, or additional charge levied, fails to file, files an incomplete, fails to remit the full amount, the commissioner may make an assessment. Does that language, in your view, reach all the way to responsible parties?
Your Honor, the answer is yes. But I believe the question should be put the other way. The question is, does 35 reach the language in 12, not whether 12 reaches the language in 35. And I think that's the loose thread that the appellee has used to create the what I think is really a tempest in the teapot about whether or not this clause in that sentence should be applied to this other clause in the same sentence. 12 deals with a number of different things. It is the scheme of 12 that is incorporated by 35, not 12 seeking to find whether or not it applies to 35. That's the real question, and that's the question that this court must answer. 35 incorporates 12. 12 has a four-year statute. Very simply, the four-year statute applies to personal liability assessments, not to the liability, but to the assessment to enforce that liability.
Well, if as we just discussed, if that language, the any person language in 12, if that encompasses the responsible parties, then the commissioner has the power to issue assessments against responsible parties directly under 12. And even if there were no incorporation language, even if there were no reference language in 0.35, the commissioner would still have that authority, right? I mean, doesn't that weaken your incorporation argument if 12 authorizes the assessment against your client?
I think that, again, with all due respect, the overanalysis of the particulars in 12, if that argument were a valid argument, it would negate 35 entirely. Why would you need 35 if the ability to assess and collect against responsible parties is contained in the second paragraph of 12? Why have 35?
Well, you would still need a provision that said certain persons are liable if the company doesn't fulfill its obligation. You would still need to create that liability.
Well, but the argument that the court is suggesting would have paragraph 2 of 12A create that assessment ability. If 35 did not have that last sentence and said the liability in this section may be enforced in the manner of 12, it would still be a valid enforcement mechanism under the second paragraph. And that's the fallacy. The question is not whether 12 incorporates 35, but whether 35 incorporates 12. And the remainder of my time is for rebuttal, if I may.
That's certainly.
Thank you,
Mr. Friedberg. Ms. Hussein.
May it please the court. I'm Sophia Hussein. I'm here on behalf of the Appellee Tax Commissioner of Ohio. This issue is not new to this court. Both this court and the Ohio appellate courts have uniformly rejected the applicability of the statute of limitations provisions to responsible party assessments in statutes that are fundamentally identical to the motor fuel tax.
Well, what about in the Bauscher case? That was the sales tax situation. And there, the four-year limitation was in a separate section of the code, not in the section that referenced, there was a reference to the assessment provision, but the section that dealt with the power to issue assessments did not contain the four-year limitation. So the argument that he's making here really wasn't present in that case, was it?
Well, looking at the language of the statute, the fact that they're in separate sections is a distinction without a difference. The language within each of the three statutes is almost fundamentally identical to this situation. If you look at the structure, the fact that the statute of limitations and the sales tax is in a separate statute, and this court still held that that statute of limitations was not applicable to the responsible officer. When you look at this situation, when it's within the same statute, you would think that it's a stronger case that for it to not be applicable when it's within the same statute rather than if it's in a separate section.
But I think his argument focuses on the notion that 5735.35 refers back to 5735.12 and says the commissioner can issue assessments in the manner of 12. And then you go back and you look at 12, and you see, among other things, that there's a four-year limitation. And so he's saying, well, that four-year limitation is incorporated, whereas in the sales tax, it's in a completely different section.
Well, as within the motor fuel tax, the fact that the statute of limitations, the fact that it's in separate sections is not the main issue. The issue is looking at the language of the statute. And the language in the sales tax statute clearly said that the statute of limitations is applicable to the vendors. And then this court, in its analysis of the language, found that the responsible corporate officer did not stand in the shoes of the vendor, and therefore the statute of limitations wasn't applicable to the responsible officer. Similarly, in this situation, if you look at the language, it clearly states that no assessment should be made against the motor fuel dealer. And the statute even defines the term dealer. If the court were to follow Mr. Ceccarelli's argument, it would disregard language within the statute that you had pointed out, that the phrase in the paragraph right above that says any person can be assessed. It would disregard that language, and it would also disregard the definition within the chapter of motor fuel dealer, which is a person, an entity that refines, sells motor fuel and has a motor fuel dealer's license. Mr. Ceccarelli, similar to the analysis in the sales tax, he does not stand in the shoes of the dealer. His liability in this situation is due to his position within the company, being a corporate officer and being an owner of the company. And as this court said in Bauscher, he isn't afforded the same procedural protections as the corporation.
Well, that points to a point that counsel's making, that if this limitation period doesn't apply, then there is no, is it the commissioner's position, there's no limitation that applies to the issuance of these assessments?
Well, within the statutes, yes, there is no limitation. However, it's in the best interest of the commissioner and the state for them to assess and collect monies owed.
Well, but what about somebody who a decade later? I mean, the purpose of these statutes is to, allow evidence to be available to people. If the commissioner is able to issue an assessment, let's say a decade after the fact, against some officer who's now working in some other place, it may be that he has no records to defend against it. And nonetheless, it's his burden to show the manner and extent of the commissioner's error. I mean, isn't that just fundamentally unfair?
Well, those aren't the facts in this situation. And
well, but if there's no limitation, then that possibility exists.
Well, it's up to the General Assembly to restrict the commissioner in that way. If the commissioner is abusing their discretion to their right to issue assessments, then it's up to the General Assembly to limit that. And similarly, it hasn't limited it in other statutory schemes, which mirror the motor fuel tax.
I wanted to ask you specifically that in 2006 there was a either a limitation provision or a repose provision enacted by the General Assembly, and I realize that would be after perhaps the years at issue in this case, but does that provision apply? It's a 5703.58, I believe. Does that provision apply to motor fuel assessments?
I'm sorry, I'm not aware of that restriction. In addition to the Bauscher case, the Fifth Appellate District then relying on Boucher, found that the plain meaning within the employee withholding income tax section also they found that the statute of limitations against assessments for taxpayers and employers did not also extend to the responsible officers. And in that holding, they relied on Boucher, and they found that the personal liability for the responsible officer does not come from the person's income earned in the state, but due to their status as a responsible officer within the company. Therefore, they found that that individual was not an employer and a taxpayer. And similarly, in this situation, Mr. Ceccarelli's liability does not originate from him selling motor fuel, but rather from his status in the company. And the facts in this case are sufficiently analogous to both Boucher and Bolso as the employee withholding tax case. So the rationale and analysis in those cases dictate the conclusion that in this situation, the statute of limitations is not applicable to Mr. Ceccarelli as a responsible officer. And once again, I'd reiterate that looking at the plain language of the statute, it's clear that just the fact that it references the manner of how an assessment should be done does not disregard the language within that section and the definition of the terms in that section. The manner is referring to administratively how the commissioner should conduct the assessment. When you look at the paragraph that refers to any person that can be assessed, it says that the commissioner may make an assessment against the person based upon any information in the commissioner's possession. It's showing how the commissioner can do the assessment, what information the commissioner can rely upon. And both 12 is applicable to 35, and you can't disregard the difference in language. In addition, if there wasn't any ambiguity in the language, the state of Ohio is a sovereign, and therefore it's immune from the operation of statutes of limitation.
I saw that argument in the brief, but the limitation provision in this case is clearly designed to limit the tax commissioner's power.
Yes.
We're at issue is what the scope of that limitation is.
Yes.
But doesn't that doctrine apply to some sort of a general statute of limitation in civil cases?
In that case, it was dealing with the general statute of limitations, but the holding that immunity can only be waived by express provisions, we would argue that you have to look at the provisions within the motor fuel tax statute, and it is expressly only waiving it within the scope of assessment
to the motor fuel dealer.
Yes. With regard to Mr. Ceccarelli's contention about the commissioner being able to assess the employees within the 4 years, if he assesses within the 4 years, then it's likely that the assessment will result into a collection within those 4 years as well. Mr. Ceccarelli seems to think that if the commissioner issues assessment, they can hold their right to collect it immediately, but what's also necessary to look at is that he can also collect those monies within those 4 years up front. And that truly is not in the interest of an individual that's in a company that's trying to save a company. If a company is assessed with a huge liability and is struggling and is trying to come up with the funds to continue, then it's in the best interest of the responsible officer to be able to borrow funds and to not have their credit hurt and to be able to help the company rather than being assessed right away. If there are no further questions, the commissioner respectfully requests.
Before you sit down, I just want to return to this point of standing here right now, you're not aware of any limitation that would apply to these assessments. Is that right? It's just open-ended. The General Assembly left it open?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hussein. Mr. Friedberg, you've reserved 1 minute and 47 seconds.
I will speak very quickly, Your Honor. Just a few points. An opening comment by Ms. Hussein was that all the statutes are fundamentally the same. Well, we would respectfully disagree. The income tax and the sales tax statutes have a three-part statutory scheme that would apply to personal responsibility assessments. The motor fuel tax has a two-part scheme. They are fundamentally different, not fundamentally the same, with respect to motor fuel tax. And I think that point was made in our briefs. I just think it's worth repeating. The other comment that was made by counsel was that it's up to the General Assembly to rein in the abuse of the tax commissioner. Well, perhaps that's what they think and perhaps that's what they say, but I would respectfully suggest it's up to this court to rein in the abuse in the improper application of the statute. The legislature's job is to make the law. It's the administrative branch's job to enforce it, not to interpret it and decide what it should be in addition to what it says, and that respectfully is what's happening here, Your Honor. Lastly, there was a comment about the Fifth Circuit decision. I think that was the Blusso case that was being referred to. We've addressed that in our brief. Not only is that simply obiter dicta, because the court plainly said even if there had been a statute of limitations issue, it never began to run in that case. I think that court, in any case, in an exuberance to follow the Supreme Court decision of just a few years earlier, was led down the same path that the appellee is seeking to lead this court. The motor fuel tax is different than either income tax or sales tax structure. Whether the income tax scheme is the same as the Bauscher analysis is really not before this court, because it's a different statutory scheme. So unless there are any questions, I would respectfully submit the matter to the court. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Friedberg. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.